Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, September 14th, and I am reading from the New International Version and then the New Living Translation when we get to the book of Ezekiel. Today we pick up in the second chapter of Hebrews, and the title in my Bible says, Warning to Pay Attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also testifies to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. There is a lot of good theology here, things that we need to remember about our God, that Jesus Christ was made to be like us, fully human and yet fully God. And he came so that he could be merciful to us, that he could be faithful in the service as a high priest. Remember in Ezekiel, all the priests are going astray, but there is one who has come to serve the Lord perfectly. He has made atonement for our sins. In other words, he has taken our sins upon himself so that we no longer have to bear the punishment for them. And he suffered when tempted. I love that our God isn't some aloof personality in the sky. He is a human being who suffered like we suffer, and he is able to help us because he understands what we are going through. And so with that, let us turn to the Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. This psalm reminds us that we are to praise God at all times and everywhere, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. The name of the Lord is to be praised. And we praise the Lord because he is great. He is exalted above the nations. His glory is above the heavens. And we also praise the Lord because he is gracious. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And so, Lord, we thank you for this promise from Scripture that you are great and you are gracious. And we thank you for your graciousness. And we ask, Lord, that you would accept our praise, as feeble and as meager as it often is. We ask that you would accept our praise and be honored today in our words and our deeds. We move forward in this daily rhythm to the book of Ezekiel. Today we are in Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 19, but I feel like I need to back up just a little bit. I went back and rewatched the Bible Project video on the second portion of Ezekiel. There are two videos on Ezekiel because it is so long, and I was reminded that Gog, the nation of Gog, is the archetype of all human rebellion. So there's not just this one nation called Gog. This is a picture for evil in the world. And in these chapters 38 and 39, God is defeating the evil in the world. And then we get to the last section where we will begin today. And in this section, God's presence will one day return to the people and bring cosmic restoration. And so we see today, we start with a long, elaborate vision of the new temple, the new place of God's presence. And it's much larger even than Solomon's temple. And so God's presence is going to come back. We'll see this in the coming chapters. Remember that glorious throne chariot in the beginning of Ezekiel that had wheels? This is going to re-enter the temple, and God's presence is going to be with his people, and God's plan is to restore all humanity back to the life-giving presence. And this is going to be a beautiful image, and I can't wait for us to get to chapters 47 and 48, but I won't spoil it all for you today. Now, the meaning of these visions that I'm about to read about has been debated for a long time. Some people think that this is a literal blueprint upon Jesus' return of the temple that will stand. And others believe that it is like all of Ezekiel's other visions, that this is full of symbols to depict God's presence returning to the people and not a literal temple that will be constructed. And so as we read, you can be thinking on these things. Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 19. The new temple area. On April 28th, during the 25th year of our captivity, 14 years after the fall of Jerusalem, the Lord took hold of me. In a vision from God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me down on a very high mountain. From there, I could see toward the south what appeared to be a city. As he brought me nearer, I saw a man whose face shone like bronze, standing beside a gateway entrance. He was holding in his hand a linen measuring cord and a measuring rod. He said to me, "Son of man, watch and listen. Pay close attention to everything I show you. You have been brought here so that I can show you many things. Then you will return to the people of Israel and tell them everything you have seen." I could see a wall completely surrounding the temple area. The man took a measuring rod that was 10.5 feet long and measured the wall, and the wall was 10.5 feet thick and 10.5 feet high. Then he went over to the eastern gateway. He climbed the steps and measured the threshold of the gateway. It was 10.5 feet front to back. There were guard alcoves on each side built into the gateway passage. Each of the alcoves was 10.5 feet square, with a distance between them of 8.75 feet along the passage wall. The gateway's inner threshold, which led to the inner room at the inner end of the gateway passage, was 10.5 feet front to back. He also measured the entry room of the gateway. It was 14 feet across, with supporting columns 3.5 feet thick. This entry room was at the inner end of the gateway structure, facing toward the temple. There were 3 guard alcoves on each side of the gateway passage. Each had the same measurements, and the dividing walls separating them were also identical. The man measured the gateway entrance, which was 17.5 feet wide at the opening and 22.75 feet wide in the gateway passage. In front of each of the guard alcoves was a 21-inch curb. The alcoves themselves were 10.5 feet on each side. Then he measured the entire width of the gateway, measuring the distance between the back walls of facing guard alcoves. This distance was 43.75 feet. He measured the dividing walls all along the inside of the gateway, up to the entry room of the gateway. This distance was 105 feet. The full length of the gateway passage was 87.5 feet from one end to the other. There were recessed windows that narrowed inward through the walls of the guard alcoves and their dividing walls. There were also windows in the entry room. The surfaces of the dividing walls were decorated with carved palm trees. Then the man brought me through the gateway into the outer courtyard of the temple. A stone pavement ran along the walls of the courtyard, and 30 rooms were built against the walls, opening onto the pavement. This pavement flanked the gates and extended out from the walls into the courtyard, the same distance as the gateway entrance. This was the lower pavement. Then the man measured across the temple's outer courtyard between the outer and inner gateways. The distance was 175 feet. Well, it is a little bit weird to end right there at 175 feet. And honestly, I thought I was an auditory learner, but this has been difficult for me to imagine what Ezekiel is talking about. And so I went online to the trusty source of YouTube. Now, I'm tongue-in-cheek there, but I found this Ezekiel Temple Vision, chapter 40, 3D animation, if you put that in YouTube, there comes up a video that walks you through these passages. And at the top of the video, it says the verse reference, and then it shows you in visual form what Ezekiel is talking about as he describes the entryway to the temple, and then he's going to go forward to describe more about the temple. And so that was very helpful for me. If you have a moment today to search for Ezekiel's temple vision, chapter 40, 3D animation on YouTube. As we close the podcast today, I thought back to Solomon's prayer of dedication at Solomon's temple, and I want to adapt this prayer because it was to dedicate the temple in Solomon's day, but we know that we are the temple of the Lord, and so we want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And also I was thinking about the temple that is in Ezekiel's prophecy. So would you pray with me? O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it. May your eyes be open toward us day and night, and may your name rest with us. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.